Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Will the SEC require publicly traded companies to begin reporting their political spending to their shareholders? It's a decision that could possibly come by the end of this month, and really it's the first test for the new head of the agency, Mary Jo White. Joining me are Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Farrukhar with Time Magazine. And Joe, Rana, from a business perspective, does knowing who a company is giving money to, a political party and a group, does it have an impact on the bottom line?
Whether it does or not, shareholders have the right to know how their companies are spending their money. To me, that is as basic as it comes. Your shareholders are making a decision whether to own a stock or not to own a stock. And disclosure is at the very heart of our financial system.
But we don't know everything that they spend money on in companies. Sometimes they don't report the profits and losses within particular divisions. We just sort of see the overall picture. So is this too much information, or is this really something that's necessary?
I think that this is a good thing in the sense that depending on how the SEC goes about it, it could add a lot of transparency to the information that's already out there. So the top, say, 250 companies in the country actually do report a lot of information. Many of them are quite good about this, but they don't always do it in one place. They don't always name it by party. You know, there could be a way in which if there was a standardized format for reporting that it could be a lot easier for people to understand. But I also think it's important to recognize the limits of what the SEC can do because they don't control trade unions, you know, the trial bar, various lobbying groups, something like the U.S. Chamber. You know, these are the groups that are actually at the forefront of political spending.
Well, of course, in the best of all possible worlds, everybody would be disclosing this information. But there are other kinds of information that corporations also have to disclose that other people and other entities don't necessarily have to disclose. One example is executive pay. Executive pay doesn't necessarily affect the bottom line one way or the other, especially at a very, very large corporation. But shareholders have the right to know it. SEC has not only declared that, but it has tried to create parameters to force executives to make their pay much more transparent than it was even a couple of years ago.
But Rana brings up a good point. Does that bring a degree of unequalness that if some companies have to report the information and some don't because they're private and maybe labor unions don't have to and
Absolutely.
One can maybe guess where they're giving their money, but you know, do you create unevenness in the playing field?
Well, look, I think the SEC idea is a good thing, all right? But yeah, there is unevenness right now. I mean, corporations as bodies are not the biggest givers. Trade unions, trade lobbying groups, privately held companies, and rich individuals, you know, paging the Koch brothers, are some of the major players here. So it's not going to do anything about that. But I think to the extent that it starts a trend headed in this direction, it's a good thing.
But, you know, you also have shareholders who are already active in this front. For example, the comptroller for New York State, Tom DiNapoli, has been very active in trying to get companies to disclose how they spend their money politically. He's successfully been a part of a campaign, for example, to just recently get Southwest Airlines and PepsiCo to reveal how they're spending their money for political parties. So is this something that we don't need the government to step in, that it's already happening? Shareholders are using the power of shareholders to make the changes.
Well, my view is that although there are examples of individual shareholders like large pension funds that have a fair amount of clout, by and large, shareholders don't have a lot of power, and they do need the SEC to come in behind them and, in effect, force disclosure. Now, Charlie, you mentioned the distinction between a private company and public company, and that's absolutely true. The SEC rules over public companies but not over private companies, and one of the reasons some companies choose not to go public is because they don't want to disclose.
Right, right. And I think it's going to be interesting if the SEC does go ahead and if the disclosures become clearer, so you can just very quickly go on a company website, let's see, and get this information, how many companies are going to give? Because I think that there's going to be a real reputational risk concern for some of these companies and also a potential alienation of certain customer base.
And that's why the Republicans and the business lobby is violently opposed to this because they view this as an attempt to, in effect, out corporations and embarrass them and, in effect, limit their ability to make political contribution.
Proponents argue that this is about transparency, but is the goal really to scare corporations from exercising what is a right that they have now, which is to make political donations?
Well, possibly both. You know, it's clearly about transparency. But, you know, if companies feel good about their contributions, then they should have no problem making them public. And if they don't, well...
Well, let's take a look ahead to some of the stories we're watching next week. Rana, what's on your radar?
So I'm thinking about real estate again. And are we entering another real estate bubble, a commercial real estate bubble?
Okay.
I was actually, I know we just, you know, you just feel like we've recovered and gotten back on track with housing. But I was actually speaking to a very smart investor the other day that said he's hearing rumors of a bubble building, particularly in commercial real estate, that some of the lending standards seem to have dropped and are going back to the levels that they were in, say, 2006 or so because of the extremely low interest rates that we've seen. So I'm going to be watching that space really carefully.
Joe?
I'm watching marijuana.
Really?
That sounds more fun.
Yeah. Once upon a time, we had the tobacco wars in this country, and they ended up with the tobacco companies agreeing to pay gigantic sums of money to the states, which the states were going to dedicate to anti-tobacco education campaigns and so on, get people to stop smoking. Well, of course, today, all of that money is not going to anti-smoking campaigns. It just goes into the general budget and helps balance the budget. So now we have marijuana, which has basically become legalized, and where states such as Colorado, which is considering a tax this week, are figuring out how much they can tax their marijuana sales. And the same question is coming, you know, how will it be used? They're talking about putting it aside for education and for this and for that. And I'll bet you that we wind up just in the general fund, balancing the budget, just like the tobacco money once upon a time.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Jonah Serra with The New York Times, Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
I'm
Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.